Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Charity Digital Podcast. Here at Charity Digital, we drive the charity sector forward with digital tools and resources. We provide charities with free and discounted tech donated by the world's leading companies. We host skill-building online and in-person interactive events, workshops, webinars and focus groups. Besides our podcast, we also produce free articles and videos to support the sector. To find out more about how we can help your charity, explore our website at charitydigital.org.uk/welcome. It's a bit of an understatement to say that the last few years have been challenging for charities. A global pandemic hastened the speed of digital transformation for the sector, widespread inflation led to growing costs and more precarious fundraising, and charities have had to balance rising service demand with an uncertain economy. But many of these challenges have predated the pandemic. What's changed is the way that we rise to them. Evolving technology has allowed charities to innovate more than ever before, with advances in everything from web accessibility to digital fundraising. Artificial intelligence is the next big thing, and under that umbrella alone, there are constantly new tools, new resources, new ways of working. So in today's podcast, we're going to look at those new ways of working. We're going to explore the challenges that charities face and how technology is rising to meet them. To help with this, I'm joined by Tony Connor, Senior Director of Product Marketing at PIR.org, the organisation that looks after the .org domain name. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, can we have a bit of an overview of your role at PIR?
Sure. So Public Interest Registry, or PIR for short, we manage the .org family of domains. So that includes .org, which is by far the most important, but also includes .foundation, .gives, .giving, .ngo, .ong, and .charity. By operator, it means we do all the very clever stuff in the background, and we have almost 11 million domain names, the bulk of which are used by charities for all the good works they do. My specific role is product marketing. Now, product marketing is defined in different companies in different ways. It could be understanding technology and how you leverage it. It could actually be developing new products. It could be researching new products and work out how to deliver that to our customers. But I think the overall theme is needs. There's no point launching a product if nobody wants it, and there's no point launching a product if it's impractical or too hard to use. So a lot of what we focus on with the .org family of domains is to make it easy as possible for our channel to use it, and also to keep it as clean as possible. So there's a lot of initiatives specifically on .org regarding anti-abuse and working in the industry to actually make it a much cleaner space for charities to operate in. Also, as part of that, we believe if our customers are successful, then we're going to be successful. So what we do is look at services, capabilities, and assets that make our customers successful. The obvious thing is things like content production, education. We have something called the .org Learning Center, which we're going to relaunch later this year. And it's really assets for charities to understand how to use technology, or even specific things as well that they're interested in. But we also work with partners. So your Charity Digital is an important content partner, and others. And it's really also other technology providers. We're very active in terms of engaging with other vendors and providers to see if we can enable the implementation of their products with our base, or easily make a .org or .charity domain name available to their customers. And then all of that falls under what we call education and outreach. I covered education, but it's, you're not going to understand what your customers need without talking to them, of course. So yes, we do go to events and we work with partners such as yourself, but we also have things like, for instance, the .org Impact Awards, which is really just highlighting our customers, their impact on what they're doing. And I think one of the great things about the .org Impact Awards, it really isn't about selling. It's about highlighting the success of our customers. You have to have a .org, but other than that, we don't expect anything in return. We don't charge for it. And, you know, I do think that's a great example of engaging your customers, but also giving back to your customers as well.
Definitely. It's so true about reaching out to charities. And every time I've ever been to a charity event, I come out with so much more inspiration than having gone in. It's always exciting to hear what's actually going on the ground. So you've touched on it a little bit, but just to really spell it out for me, what do we mean exactly by products for charities?
Well, what we don't mean is general online products. So 90% of technology and 90% of online products work for everyone. So they were built with the needs of, you know, general users in mind, small to medium enterprises, or even large enterprises, actually. I do think, though, what you need to understand what makes a charity different from a, you know, normal run-of-the-mill business. So it's things like recruiting and managing volunteers. That's a very specific to the charity sector. Fundraising. All companies have e-commerce and acquire revenue in different ways. It's different when you fundraise. You have to market things very differently, and also simply collecting the funds. Yes, sometimes you might sell something to fundraise to support your cause, but what makes charities very different is people just send you money. And it's really trying to make it as easy as possible for them over time. So fundraising is a great example in terms of evolution as well. You know, centuries ago, it was a guy standing outside in the street with a bucket, hoping people will throw coins at them. And that evolved into people sending in checks, credit cards. And now we're at the stage where it's cryptocurrency and all that sort of thing. But the underlying need is fundraising. Other things are very specific, like impact statements. You have to show that you are making an impact so people will give you more money or you can get grants. Advocacy, you need to reach out to so many people. Yes, your supporters in the general public, but politicians, other actors in the space, your own volunteers and people as well. And anything and all of that, if something happens in your particular area, sometimes you need specific products or even develop products yourself to meet that particular need as well. So a theme I do have is you really need to educate yourself on what's out there in terms of technology and products so that you can make better informed decisions in the future when you need to make it.
So is that, if you know what technology is at, if you, what comes first, the problem or the technology?
So what should come first is the underlying need or problem. And then you can work out what you need to do. What happens in the real world is somebody comes up with a fantastic technology for a specific thing. And it's really trying to be innovative in using that technology for that and other things. AI is a great example of, you know, there are lots of AI experts that seem to be coming out of the woodwork, actually. And I can't claim to be an expert in any way, shape or form. But the number of things it enables means it can actually be very confusing in terms of where you start. When I have talked to people about AI, there's some great things they're conceiving. But, you know, perhaps to get started, you simply use it for content production and good content production. So instead of having people write articles, you can have AI produce the first draft and then have people actually look at and apply actual intelligence rather than artificial intelligence to make the product much better as well.
Yeah. That's so interesting. As a content writer, I think it's nice to actually draw that that difference between artificial and actual as well, because I think too much emphasis is put on the intelligence part and not the artificial part. So that's very interesting. How have you seen the challenges for charities evolve over recent years? Have they evolved?
I think they've evolved in, well, two things. Things have evolved in terms of what charities are trying to do, and charities are always reacting to changes in the world and that sort of thing. Specifically for technology, I actually think broadly the challenges are pretty the same. Back to the fundraising, you know, you're going to be successful if you can clearly articulate what you're going to do with the funds and then make it as easy as possible with the most number of ways of donating. Nowadays, there are so many choices. It's confusing for the user, let alone trying to get as many as possible. And sometimes you have to make decisions. You might not take a certain credit card. You might not take credit cards at all. But it really does have to be evaluated in terms of the benefit, in terms of fundraising and what you can do that's new. So a big theme of this is not the challenges are changing, it's how you can meet the challenges change almost day by day. And that's very hard to keep on top of.
Yeah, how do you keep on top of it? So that was my next question. How has technology evolved to meet those challenges? And how do you keep on top of it?
Well, it's really educating yourself, but always focus. We all have challenges in our companies and in our charities. But if you try and do everything, then it dissipates. So I think everything comes down to, again, what your needs are. And if your need is you've got a hole in your fundraising, then educate yourself specifically on what technology and products are out there to improve your fundraising. So you do have to focus. And it's not easy. And I think, you know, if you can be innovative, new technology like artificial intelligence comes along and you can do fantastic things that you weren't able to do before. You probably wanted to do them before. You couldn't. But also a lot of innovation is actually using old technology, or simply existing ways of doing things to do different things and new things. And that can only happen really when there's a small incremental improvement in technology or somebody just comes up with a great idea. And implementing that great idea, you simply have to understand what's out there, I think.
Yeah. What are you finding that charities are sort of asking for at the moment or looking for?
Well, fundraising is always at the top because that's for obvious reasons. In terms of, I think charities want to be more efficient and business-like, for want of a better term. And one of the challenges in the future, which we can come on to, I think, is collaboration. It's really working internally better, working with other charities better, and working with vendors better as well. So I do think that is one of the things that will come up, and that crosses back again into education. The more you talk to people, the more you network, the better you understand things and how you can work better together.
So what do we expect charities to need in the future?
So collaboration, easy ways to educate themselves, we just covered that, right? Resource management, it goes back to my being more business-like. Volunteers are resources, all your online assets are resources. It's actually working out how to do that. And leveraging existing technologies. So an example of that is customer relationship management. Now, obviously, Salesforce is used by a lot of charities, but it's what you use it for. Traditionally, it's been managing volunteers and maybe important or big donors, but you can manage so many other things in terms of the people you help. With the .org Impact Awards, we're using our CRM to manage the judges because we have so many judges, you know, keep making sure they're judging, but also how we interact and things like that. So it comes down to capability and managing it, I think. And then there are fundamental things that I think will never go away. So fundraising, digital marketing, before things were digital, it was just marketing, but I don't think that's going away. So how do you make that better? Part of it is content production. And I think one of the evergreen things that charities are going to need is video. Video is so much different than writing or even talking in terms of getting the message across and having an impact. And nowadays, because so many people can take videos and it's so easy for them to take videos, managing that. And I do actually think there's a product gap there, even though with the growth in video in terms of social media and other things, I think do think there's a gap there in terms of leveraging it even further, particularly for charities. As I said, videos give that emotional interaction with the people you're trying to communicate with.
How would you fill that gap, I guess, is the question. Could you explain a bit more for me?
So a use case is you can take videos, your volunteers can take little videos while you're out there, or you can actually get a vendor to do a video shoot. But all those videos and that video footage can be used in so many different ways. So the gap there, I think, is some sort of, I don't want to solve in real time, but some sort of database of all the video assets you have, and you can easily start splicing it together. So when you have a social media campaign or a conference, or you want to do special messaging for special groups, and this is where I think it starts to get really strong, it comes down to ease of use again. AI is a fantastic example of new technology, but I do think ease of use of the technology, whether it be old things like video or AI, is what it's going to... ease of use is really what AI is going to help in terms of various things as well.
Yeah, that's what we've seen, I think. Just anecdotally speaking, I think AI is, as you said earlier, being used a lot more for content production, because I think it's easy enough to experiment with ChatGPT. Copilot's there on all of on Bing, but it's less easy to integrate it with your data and use it to make predict things, which it will be really helpful for once it's been used in that way, but it's less accessible, isn't it, than just logging on to Copilot and being like, this is what I would like to do.
Well, so yes, I mean, it's great to play with, right? And I played with it as well. It's really, and I've wasted a lot of time playing with it. It's really how to work out for me to be more productive with things, those sort of tools. And so another example on fundraising is what AI gives you, content production, but also it helps you target your marketing campaign better. There's a lot of AI, there's a lot of things in customer relationship manage that AI has enabled in terms of ranking and things like that. And it could be simply something as simple as more content production, better content production, or simply a better chatbot on your website that makes more sense.
They can point you in the right direction with all the information you need, right?
That's right. And there's lots of information nowadays.
Yeah, definitely. Too much. I think that's all we have time for today. But thank you so much for sharing your insight and expertise, Tony. It's been really interesting to hear a bit more about your role and what's coming up for charities and how charities can experiment and learn more about the technology they're using. So thank you very much for joining me. We hope everyone listening has enjoyed it too. You can find more resources on everything from structuring a charity website to building a community on the .org Learning Centre website, which is powered by PIR.org. And you can find lots of stuff on the Charity Digital website too. And we've linked both of those websites in the description. So thank you very much for listening and see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.